Well, good evening. I'm delighted for your presence this evening. As most of you know, Mike is still away in Brazil, and hopefully we'll be returning this coming week, and will be with us next Sunday. I know we're looking forward to his return. I want to thank the elders for giving me the opportunity to speak this evening. I hope I've picked a topic that will be uniquely applicable to everyone here. I told Holly Lewis this could be 20 minutes or it could be an hour and 20, so we'll see how it works out. Depends on how wound up I guess. You know, there's so many powerful scriptures in the Word, and thinking about what I wanted to speak about tonight, I centered in on a particular set of verses that have so much meat to them that it might take a week to preach about all of the content that's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 22. It's rich in material for all of us as followers of Jesus Christ. You know, in my job at a company that's a competitor to Apple, I couldn't resist that for Ben and everybody else. You know, I run this business in the Northeast U.S., and every month I have 20 items that makes up my scorecard. And I have to be, I'm either red, yellow, or green on the 20 items every month that I get scored. The good news is that then the final tally doesn't happen until next Friday night at 6 o'clock at the end of our fiscal year. And my whole team, we're striving to be green on all 20-plus items. Because if we're green, it means we get good evaluations at the end of our time and all of those kinds of things. So I thought about my scorecard in my secular job, and I said, you know, where's a good set of verses that could be our scorecard in our Christian walk? And I centered in on these scriptures this evening. Ben and Matt have built a scorecard for everybody here. And I'm going to ask you to contemplate your scorecard as we go through these verses this evening. And I'm hopeful that at the end of the day, you would maybe have come to some realization that there's a few areas that maybe you could do a bit better on. And maybe you'll have some corrective action. Because every month in my business, if we're red, we have corrective action to get ourselves to green. And so as I think about us here tonight as a group at Teensboro, I thought we'd have our own scorecard. And in the spirit of not being too businesslike, I changed it to checklist. So Ben and Matt have a page for everybody here. And I'll ask them to pass it out, if they would, while we read these particular scriptures. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil. Hopefully everybody's got their checklist. And in this set of verses, I start trying to pick out all the different things that we ought to work on, and I call them imperatives. And I had a debate about Saturday night a week ago about what is an imperative. Well, imperative is in that little parentheses bracket at the bottom. It's something that demands your attention. So in this particular set of verses, I counted up 17 different imperatives. And that's what's reflected, I hope, on your checklist that you have. And we're going to go through these tonight. That's why I said this could be 20 minutes or it could be an hour and 20. It kind of depends. Some of these we'll go into a little bit more depth on, and some less so. But in any event, you're free to score yourself on your checklist, and you see that you have the option of being frequently doing these things all the way to never doing these things. And I've made it a 4-point scale so you can't go in the middle. Because if you have a 3-point scale, everybody just put the middle one down and I'm good. So I picked 4 different levels by which to force you, if you decide to fill out the checklist with us tonight, you're forced to make some decisions about where you stand. And again, as I said, at the end of this, I'm hopeful that all of us will have something to work on and improve. All right, so let's get started. I know these are a lot of words, and this is not the way I normally would present information, but I wanted to provide some context in the middle column. Then I wanted to provide on the right some ideas that you might employ if you find yourself having the need to do so. These are just some ideas, so this is kind of the how I could improve on these things. So let's get started and talk about 12 through 22. I always like scriptures to start with the word but, or the word therefore, because it's going to tell you something that you need to action. Right? It's going to tell you, listen up, something's coming that you need to be aware of. So in that first section, I put the first two together. Appreciate those who labor among you and esteem them very highly. There's different, in my research, there's different ways of thinking about this. Some commentators would think it's talking about preachers, but personally I think it's talking about those who have charge over us, which I consider to be the elders here at Teensboro. So if you look at these two men that we have, do we appreciate Wally and Mo? We can say, oh yeah, we like Wally, he's a good guy. We like Mo, he's a good guy. But do we really appreciate them? Do we really esteem them? Do we hold them in high regard? Do we treat them as our confidant? Do we follow their direction? Are we focused with them on getting all of us to heaven? These men have heavy loads to carry on our behalf. They're charged with helping everybody in this room and others who are not here this evening get to heaven. You know, when's the last time you told Wally how much you appreciate all the work he does, or Mo, or their spouses who also carry some of this load with them in their day-to-day work? You know, that center column, they're focused on saving us from ruin. Think about that. Think of the responsibility these two men have on our behalf. If it weren't for them, you know, 2 times ago when I spoke, I talked about the eldership and the roles of elders. And I used the analogy that we're all a bunch of sheep. And if you have sheep, they're all just going to kind of follow each other around, aimlessly wandering. Have you written them a nice card recently? Have you asked them what you could do to help the congregation grow? Have you shown them love? Have you had them over for dinner? Have you gotten to know them better? Have they gotten to know you better? Because only when we know each other will we be able to help each other get to heaven. That's a really big responsibility that Paul is pointing out to the brethren, that we request of you, brethren, that's us in this audience tonight. So I ask you all to think about that on your scorecard. You know, are you frequently showing them high esteem and regard and the utmost of respect, or maybe not so much and you could improve? If you could improve, there's some ideas that might help you do that. I know Wally's always on a diet or whatever. He might not want to come over to your house for eats, but, you know, whatever. Do you esteem these men? They're going to be held accountable for what happens to each of us in the day of judgment. Think about that. You know, I'm accountable for my own self, but they're accountable for all of us. So I ask you to think about that as you think about where you could improve. If we request you, brethren, that you appreciate those who labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with all. If you look at Romans 14, verse 19 for a moment, there's a word there that I'd like to try to center on about living in peace. 14:19 of Romans. So then let us pursue things which make for peace and the building up of one another. I think that says it very strongly about these particular verses, about live in peace with all. Are you pursuing the things which allow for peace here at Kingsborough? Or are you ambivalent about peace or turmoil or whatever it might be? Or maybe you don't have the awareness of things that might cause us to not have peace here at Kingsborough. But are you pursuing those things? Are you striving for holiness amongst your brethren? Are you doing good for others? It talks about peace for all. Are you doing things that help your fellow man live in peace? And are you pursuing, as I said? The end game is to promote unity. You can host Bible studies in your home. I know that there's several here that do that. They have Bible studies in their home, which is a great way to pursue peace by having Bible studies, so you get to know people and you can continually examine the Word of God. Eric this morning in our Bible class made mention, I think Eric maybe has said it three or four different times this morning, the word examine. That's a really important word as we kind of go through this checklist, is this self-examination. You know, we're only here a little over a year, I guess maybe now 15 months, and it's unfortunate that I don't know everybody fully yet. You know, so if I would mark this on myself, I probably need to work on this, because unless I know you, I may not be able to help us all as a group live in peace. So that's something in my own marking of my own scorecard I probably need to do better. These next three are quite interesting. I'm going to put them up. Well, we'll do them one at a time, because I think this is really something that we struggle with as Christians. Again, in these verses, the Apostle Paul is talking to us as brethren. And these particular three characteristics, these next three, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, and help the weak. He didn't say, "Hey, we urge you elders, do these things." He said, "We urge you brethren to do these things." And so much of the time, it's easy to lay it off on someone else that has to admonish the unruly. When you talk about this word admonish the unruly, the last item in my comments section is the idea in the language here is those who break rank. Those who break rank. If you're in the military, you're asked to, you know, file up into formation, we're going to march down the field. If you have some guy going left, another guy going right, or that's left and right for me, right and left for you, you know, you're breaking rank. You're disorderly. You're not part of the whole. You're out on your own. Are there people here at Kingsborough who are breaking rank? And if they are, it's not just Wally or Moe's responsibility to help on that. It's all of our responsibility to help on that. I was so encouraged a month ago, we were back in Houston. And the week before I was there, a young lady who had broken rank had returned to the Lord. And it was a great day when she returned to the Lord. The elders did very little about helping her return to the Lord. Myself and another elder, we tried to work with this young lady for quite a while, but even after a while, we became discouraged. But there was one young lady in the congregation, Courtney Brunk, who is Curtis Pope's daughter. Her name was Courtney Pope. Courtney Brunk stayed with this young lady. In spite of all of her wayward walking, she stayed with her. And she kept encouraging her. And she kept admonishing her. And finally, one day, she came back. It wasn't because of anything the elders did. It's because of what Courtney Brunk did to help her return to the Lord. We all have that responsibility here at Kingsborough to help those who have broken rank return to the Lord. Encourage the faint-hearted. Everybody in this audience has been faint-hearted at one time or another. You have issues with children. You have issues at work. You have issues that are concerning you in your home life. We all have had faint-heartedness. Have I encouraged you? Have you encouraged me? I've walked maybe in some of your shoes. Maybe you've walked in my shoes. And there's times where you're weak and I'm strong. There's times when I'm weak and you're strong. I mean, this is this whole notion of brethren helping each other. Encourage the faint-hearted. A person who has low spiritual strength, easily discouraged, tempted by the world. And again, it's everyone's responsibility. So how can you help that person who's faint-hearted? I would suggest you get to know them better. If you think they're faint-hearted, write them a letter of encouragement. Call them on the phone. Send them an email. Be an example to them. Ask them how you can help them. If you don't know who's faint-hearted, ask one of the elders. They might be able to tell you that so-and-so could use some encouragement, or so-and-so is having difficulty. Maybe you could help them. There's all kinds of ways for us to help each other when we're faint-hearted. Similarly, if those of us who are weak, if you look in Romans 15:1, that's a very common scripture in Romans 15:1. What does it tell us there? Now, we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. It's easy for you and me to just go on about our business versus bearing the burdens of the weak. What does that mean, to bear the burden of the weak? It means you take it on. It means you assume their burden. Emotionally help them through their trials. Again, I think this is something I might can do a better job of in my day-to-day walk here at Tingsboro. Help the weak. We ought to be willing to bear these people's burdens. You know, Scott... and Celine are not here tonight, but Scott's an interesting, and if he was here, I'd say the same thing if he was here, but he makes it a point to ask me a lot of times, maybe he does it to others, he asks me, how am I doing in my walk with God? Maybe he just asked me, I don't know, but I'm encouraged by that. That he has the courage to, first off, ask me that question. You know, I don't maybe ask so many people that question, but he has the courage to ask me that question. There's some days that I'm feeling good about things. There's some days maybe I'm not feeling so strong. And by asking me that question, he might be able to help me. I would encourage us all maybe to ask each other more of those kinds of questions. But these three things on this particular page can be quite toilsome, can be quite challenging for us in our walk with Christ. And that's why I think the Apostle Paul puts the next one in line. Be patient with all men. The example I gave about that young lady in Houston, Texas, Courtney was very patient. Was very patient with her. She stayed with her. This is probably over a course of about 18 months. She stayed with her. Think of the patience that young lady exhibited in helping a sister return to the Lord. It'll be hard to be patient. It's hard. That's a difficult attribute for us. Because these people that are in those first three categories will challenge our temper. They will challenge our stick-with-itness. They will challenge our long-suffering. And if you look at Proverbs chapter 15:18, I'll turn there real quick, 15:18 of Proverbs. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger pacifies contention. The slow to anger pacifies contention. I think we need to be thinking about being slow to anger. And we can also, how we do that is recognize different levels of maturity that a person might have. A person that's younger in the faith, we may need to exhibit a different level of patience and long-suffering. And maybe we need to teach more. Those who are more experienced in the faith, maybe we have to have a different way of working with them than not. So I'm going to stop there and have you all look at your scorecards or your checklist if you're filling them out. You may not be, but how are you doing so far? Do you have some frequentlies marked? Do you have some nevers marked? Maybe so, maybe no. Something to think about. Let's read on. In 1 Thessalonians. Verse 14, I think, is just a very, very powerful verse for all of us in this audience tonight. Something we can all work on. Verse 15. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seeks after that which is good for one another and for all men. So do not repay evil for evil. If we turn to Romans 12, and there's a lot of corollaries in Romans 12 to this particular set of scriptures. In Romans chapter 12, verses 17 to 21, this is about repaying evil for evil. 17 to 21 says the same thing. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. We've already talked about peace. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Bottom line, don't take vengeance on another person. And I think for the most part, we wouldn't do that as people. But we need to have pure motives in this regard. We may want to. I'm going to get that guy back for, you know, getting ahead of me in line, or I'm going to get that guy because he got a promotion at work and I didn't, or I'm going to complain really bad about the decision the elders made about this or that. I mean, you know, all these things, our motives must remain pure. They must remain positive. And my item in the far right to you about focus on the pilgrimage, at the end of the day, what really matters? What really matters at the end of the day? What really matters is getting to heaven. The things about this pilgrimage here on this earth, immaterial. It's really immaterial. If someone injures you or does you wrong, at the end of the day, it's immaterial. We need to be thinking about that higher calling that we have. Seek after good, that's fairly well understood. But what's, I think, more interesting is seek after that which is good for one another and for all men. I didn't put for all men there, but I think that's something to think about. Seek after good for one another within the congregation, but I think it's also an opportunity for us to seek after good with all men. Don't be bitter to other people. Be kind, be generous. Be hospitable to other people. Show compassion to all men, whether they be in the household of faith or not. The next set of verses, verse 16 and 17 and 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In that set of sentences, I have three things here. Pray continuously is the first one. Give thanks for everything. And then, pray without ceasing and then give thanks. But what's interesting about this in my mind is, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is what God expects us to do, is rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks. That's His will. That's what He wants us. That's what He wants out of us. So, rejoice always. In my mind, there's no debate about that. How bad can this earth get? It's immaterial how bad things can be on this earth when we compare it to what awaits us in heaven. So there is no debate about rejoice always. We have to find that way to rejoice by maintaining an attitude. If you think about what we have in front of us, is we have a Savior in Jesus Christ that has come to this earth, died for us, was risen again, that we might have this hope. To me, that's the reason to rejoice, and that's also a reason why so many people in the world have no hope, and it's hard for them to rejoice always. I like one of my favorite chapters is Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, 12 through 15. This is this whole notion of rejoice always. Not that I've already obtained it or I've already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal for the prize of the upward calling in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if anything, you have a different attitude, God will reveal that to you also. So to me, this talks about the great hope that we have that should drive us to rejoice always. Pray continuously is the next one on our checklist. Pray continuously. Are we at the ready to pray? Are we regular in our prayer life? Are we persevering? Do we engage with the proper thought and feeling? I try. I'm sure everybody in this room tries. You know, we could probably all mark to the less numbered side of this particular item in our checklist, because it's always room for improvement. Do you pray at night? Do you pray in the morning? Do you pray when you have a difficulty in front of you? Do you pray at mealtime? Do you pray in public? Are you on the alert? If you look at Colossians 4:2, it talks about devote yourselves to prayer, and the next words are keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Keeping alert in prayer. Keeping alert in prayer. That pattern of consistency, we have to look for opportunities each and every day to pray. Give thanks for everything, for this is God's will. I went ahead and put that in there, although it is aligned to the things above. Give thanks for everything, for this is God's will. We're so blessed. And on the right-hand side, in terms of some ideas for action, you know, you could probably build a list that, I don't know, would be as long as several pages if you really thought about it, of all the blessings that God has given to you. Even in the spirit of all the adversity that we have in life that we think is so painful, and all the disorganization we have, and all the strife we have, and all of those things, the blessings we have are innumerable. And sometimes I think we forget about that if we're really giving thanks for all the blessings that we have provided to us by Jesus Christ and God. These next two go together. Let's continue reading. This will be in verses 19 and 20. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. If you think of these two things together, it's the word quench has the idea of fire behind it. Don't quench the fire. Don't put the fire out. If you put the fire out, you die. You need to have that fire to live, right? So don't put it out. Don't indulge in carnal lust. Don't neglect the cultivating of your heart. If you begin to neglect yourself and your spiritual growth and maturity, you might quench that fire that should be living within you. So my ideas for action here would be to envelop yourself in the Bible and eliminate pew-sitting Christianity. You know, we might have some here tonight. We might have some that were here this morning that are just here. You know? Do they really have that fire that is expected? Do you? Do I? Can others see that I'm on fire each and every day? I don't know. Can my workers at my company that I work, can they see me on fire? They should. They should be able to tell that I'm different than the rest of the folks, or many of the folks that I work with every single day. And don't despise prophetic utterances. This gets to the idea of preaching of the Word. And although I'm probably doing a poor job of it tonight, I'm trying my best. I think Skip did a great job this morning of preaching the Word. And do we welcome that? Do we take it in? This is setting up for the next section about examining everything that we have. Are we anxious to hear God's Word imparted to us every single week? Do we memorize verses? I'm hopeful that as we move to this new curriculum in the fall, that those of us who are parents and have students in the curriculum will memorize a whole bunch more Bible verses as a result. And I'm even hopeful that maybe as a congregation, we might can carve some time to work on that as a congregation potentially. But do you read the Bible daily? I have to admit, I'm not so good at that every day. Maybe I hope that all you all are much better than myself, but it's something that I can probably improve on each and every day. But is the preaching that we hear from the pulpit, does it stir us up? Does it cause us to act? Does it cause us to grow as individuals, which I think let us then do a lot of those things that are stirred up back up in these verses? And of course, as Eric spoke about this morning in class several times, this word examine. So if you know, these first two things on this, the quenching of the Spirit, the prophetic utterances, but he also gives us that warning in verse 21, that but word again, but examine everything carefully. It's our responsibility to search the Scriptures for truth. Although Mike stands up here and imparts the word to us under the direction of Wally and Mo, it's up to us to examine the Scriptures and seek the truth. Amen. It's up to us, everybody in this room. We cannot be spoon-fed the truth. We have to find the truth on our own. Acts 17:11 talks about the Bereans and all the things they did to search the Scriptures, right? You remember that scripture? 17:11, now there were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. I'm hopeful tonight you might think about what I'm talking about. Are these words so? When Mike is back next week and preaches to us, are these words so? It's up to us to examine the Scriptures. Discuss with others. If you have questions about something that's taught, you should ask one of the elders, because they're responsible for the teaching that goes on here at Tingsboro. Or ask Mike. Or ask someone else. Can you help me understand that better? There'd be a lot of people here who'd help you if you have questions about particular biblical teaching. And I put up there also on the right about understand other religious organizations. Dave and I have been talking about my normal person I like to gang up on, and that's Joel Osteen. You know? I talked about him a couple of Wednesday nights ago in a Wednesday night invitation about his words are so easy, if you ever listen to that man. His words are so easy. He writes these books. It's so easy. No, it's not. And so many people are following his easy teaching that it's scary. They're not examining what the Scriptures really say. They're looking to him as their go-between. But the Bible is the only way forward. So if you examine everything and you've come to the conclusion that it's all good, the next piece is to hold fast to that which is good. Don't let it go. It's an important duty for each of us to hold fast to that which is good. And hopefully, here's a group, we have enough people holding fast that will keep us bound together as one. The second point there is to suffer loss of all things rather than abandon good. Again, if you look at the world we live in today, we're afforded that freedom to worship here whenever we want. But if those days were to change in America, where we couldn't do that, we should suffer loss of all things than abandon the good that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Would we be willing to do that? And of course, accept no other doctrine except what is found. And I'm going to go back to the class we have on Sunday morning that Eric's been teaching. You kind of think that's a really a fundamental class, and it sort of is. But it's also a very powerful class to help us remain firm in the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Finally, the last phrase, abstain from every form of evil. That's pretty simple to understand. Flee. When in doubt, flee. Young people, when you're in some spot that you shouldn't be in, flee. It will happen to you that you will be somewhere, sometime, in some place that you shouldn't be. Maybe by your own design, maybe by happenstance, but your job is to flee. And same for us as adults, is to flee what we watch on television, what we take into our brains, how we speak to others, all of these things can have a very negative impact on our lives. You must establish a set of boundaries each and every day of what you're willing to do and what you're not willing to do. And I think for the most part, as God-fearing people, we do a pretty good job of that. We've done a pretty good job of setting boundaries. I've tried in my household to do that. I'm hopeful that you've tried as well and are trying in your own household. So, 17 imperatives. We've gone through them rather quickly. It's been about 30 minutes. That's pretty good. But here's the end of the day, what I'm asking you to really think about. If you did score along the way, how did you score? If you're frequently down the left-hand side, 17 times 4 is 68 points. On the other side, if you're not doing any of those things, you had 17 points. Matt asked me tonight, he says, are you going to take the sheets up, Mr. Craig? I said, no, I'm not going to take the sheets up. Because he wanted to do some statistical analysis on the sheets. And as a congregation, your tendency is you need to improve here. That might be interesting. If all of us were to tick the box of seldom in a particular two or three categories, maybe we need some teaching about that here at Tingsburg. There's some areas where maybe your strength is my weakness. I might need to know that. That'd be interesting to know that, you know, Robert's strength is my weakness, and my strength is Dave's weakness, and, you know, James's strength is Dave's weakness. I mean, if we know each other and we know about these characteristics, think how much more powerful we could be as a band of believers. So how'd you score? What areas can be improved? If you look down, you have some of those that are on the light end of the scoring system. Maybe there's some areas that you can improve. So I want you to think about that. More importantly, what I'd like you to do, as I said at the beginning, if you've been scoring yourself or not, it doesn't make any difference. Note on your page three things you'll try to do differently to improve your walk with Jesus Christ. There's some ideas on this page for you to think about. It's not rocket science. It's pretty basic. But it's something I think we can all take away from here tonight. And tonight when we go home, if you take a sheet, just think of three things or write them on the page. Keep the page somewhere you can see it. Just work on three things that maybe you could do a little bit better that might cause yourself to grow or cause the body of Christ here at Tingsboro to grow. Wouldn't that be fantastic if in a year from now everybody had worked on three things? We'll all work on three different things, by the way, because that's who we are. We're all different. We'll all work on three different things. But think what could be